everybody. Welcome to Integrate Yourself with Allison. I'm your host, Allison Pillow, and you can find me at pureenergypdx.com. Welcome to the show, everybody. I am so excited you're here. We have quite a treat today. Jator Pierre is coming back for the third time on the show. He's one of my favorite guests, and he's also a good friend. I've been working with Jator for years now. We've been in the same emotional coaching realm for a really long time, and I've gotten to know him that way and through the Czech Institute. And he is just always just insightful in a way that I feel like on a personal level, I just grow every time I talk to him, and it gives me such food for thought, so much food for my mind. You know, it's just incredible. So today's like no other, and we talk about connecting, or I should say today's no different than any other time that I talked to him. It's just as incredible as the next. Not to put him on a pedestal, but just we have really good conversations, and I really enjoy them. So you know, today we're talking about personal power, connecting with your personal power. And I had the joy and the pleasure of taking Jator's Restore 60 program. And it was, for me, it was really divine timing, a really great time for that to come into my life in the midst of all the coronavirus and my dad passing away. It helped me get grounded in some things that I just couldn't control in my life. And I say that because I really felt like I was in a situation where I lost my personal power about the time when I started Restore 60, and realized that, you know, even though I knew personal power came from within, I just wasn't connecting with it because I was seeing all this external change that I really disagreed with. And I had felt like there was something just not right going on around me, and I didn't know how to handle that. And so I felt like this was a very important show to have, because I'm seeing, you know, this is a time where we're having to connect with our personal power like we never have before. It's super important. And it's giving us an opportunity actually to do this. So even though this is a time where people are getting triggered, we're judging each other, we're, you know, sometimes policing each other, sometimes or having compassion for each other. You know, it's a really important time to get right with yourself, as I say. So in this episode, this is what we talk about, how important this is and how you can actually do that. And because, again, we're not taught this. You're not taught to be intimate with yourself, right? It's about, usually we're taught how to respond to the outside world, but we're not really taught how to respond to our inside world. So it's about personal power. And that's something that I feel like is so needed right now, connecting with our personal power in an authentic way, one that really represents ourselves, but also in a way that's truthful, right? And so for that to be a thing, you have to be honest with yourself about where it's coming from. Where is your personal power coming from? And that's what we talk about here. Is it coming from your ego? Is it coming from what you think other people want to see in you? You know, is it coming from a place of you hiding yourself to fit in? Or is it coming from a place of really exposing who you are and sharing that with the world? And I know that can be scary for many of us, but that's what we talk about today, is liberating that part of yourself and being truthful with that part, because true authentic power lies in that. It lies in you getting intimate with yourself so that you can be intimate with other people in ways that really expose parts of yourself that you are hiding. So we get deep. We get deep in today's show. Of course, I would not expect anything different from Jator Pierre. But again, yeah, it was, I really enjoyed it. So, without further ado, we'll just get right into it. Before we do that, a quick little announcement, just to remind you guys, connecting with your personal power also is connecting with your food and fitness foundation. So if you want to connect with that, I have two really amazing online programs that you can sign up for. One is create your food foundation and create your fitness foundation. Right now, I think creating your food foundation is super important because if you don't balance your blood sugar, if you don't have a good foundation for your body physiology, and you know, the systems, the detoxification systems and all this, and it's going to be really hard for you to regulate your emotions. It's going to be really hard for you to be able to have a really healthy response to life and, you know, enjoy life really in general, like to really have optimism and versatility in that area, you know, be able to be innovative and creative in your life. It's going to be hard to express yourself. So really getting to that first, creating that food foundation of calm, confidence, where you can feel good in your body, you can feel healthy, you can be resilient to anything that comes your way. That's going to be the best thing you can do for yourself. So if you want to sign up for that Create Your Food Foundation course, I will provide a link on the show notes here and you can head over and sign up today. Okay, so without further ado, it is my honor and my pleasure to introduce you to Jator Pierre, everybody. Enjoy. Welcome, everybody, to Integrate Yourself. I'm your host, Allison Pillow, and you can find me at pureenergypdx.com. Today, I'm here with Jator Pierre. He is a good friend, and I have to tell you that I brought him back the third time. This is the third round because he's always fun to talk to. There's always layers of interesting, you know, topics to talk about. I always feel like whatever we uncovered in the last interview is, you know, yet to be uncovered in the next one. So that's why I always have him back. He's really fun to talk to. So welcome to the show, Jator. So I want to first tell you, and I've already told you this, but I wanted to just kind of say it on the podcast, that I'm so grateful for your program, Restore 60. I took it back when kind of all the coronavirus stuff started. Also my dad passed away. So I was kind of needing something. Like for me, I consider myself a pretty grounded person, but at that time I was just feeling like, oh my God, like this is so much is being changed right now. So many things are happening. I need something to, and it was just that beacon of light that helped me, kind of gave me some direction at that time, helped me really, you know, get grounded and actually learn a lot more about myself too. I was really impressed with the program and it was just delightful. It was so enjoyable. It didn't feel like work. So thank you so much and for really giving me that experience. It was amazing.
You're welcome. And thank you.
Yeah.
It's really powerful for me to hear those words, especially from someone that I respect. Taking that program, it's kind of my baby. And so it means a lot to me that the feedback I get on the program, of course, it means a lot. And pouring my heart and mind into it in a way that I thought would be fun and challenging and not overwhelming as best as I could. But yeah, thank you very much for that acknowledgement. It definitely means a lot to my heart.
You're welcome. So, with that being said, I want to just welcome you to the show, Jator, and I would love for you to give everybody a quick or not so quick synopsis of your background, whatever you choose, and then I would love to talk about reclaiming your personal power today. Some topics like fear of change, which we're all going through right now. How like our body parts can get stuck, you know, in kind of in the change as well in that process and integration. And of course, you don't have to remember all these topics. We'll go through them. This is a lot of stuff. I also wanted to talk about parallel realities, and that's been coming up for me a lot lately, and how like kind of where your, what your beliefs are around those and as that relates to what we talk about earlier in the show. So welcome again, and let's get started.
All right. Background. I think I have a mirror back there. There's a chair behind me, some sweaters, and my little Incredible Hulk.
For those of you who can't see, he's describing it very well here.
I'm describing my background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. This is, what very is that? Special. The Hulk? Oh, a Golden Hulk? Or Golden is that Hulk. The... No.
Yeah, Golden Hulk.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Very special gift. That's my background. I hope everyone knows now. I know what I'm talking about.
You do.
I think my background is I'm a human being. I've done a lot of diving into my own heart. I've whatever, thousands of hours of coaching experience, blah, blah, blah. I'm a human being, and I'm a curious human being. And I think that's what's been probably the most prolific growth in my life is curiosity and a willingness to question and to observe and to allow, interesting, to allow myself to experience more of myself. And I think with, in some regard, I'm just going to go into personal power because that's the only thing I can remember spiel.
Yeah.
I think personal power is a very interesting topic because my experience is that interestingly, not many of us experience ourselves as powerful. I think, and it's kind of a very interesting paradox. I think where many of us experience power, interestingly, is from hiding who we are and hiding our truth. And at some point in our lives, or many points in our lives, there was an experience or experiences in which we felt a loss of permission to self, to be self. And that loss of permission showed up in us learning and, interestingly, using our intuition or our gut instinct to figure out, well, who do I need to be to fit into this situation? Yeah. Who do I need to be so that I can get acknowledgement? What do I need to hide so people think certain things of me? What parts of me do I need to hide so I can hide from myself and feel powerful in the presence of others? Interestingly to me, many clients, inclusive of myself at times, we feel a sense of power through hiding ourselves. And I don't think that's real power. I think that's the illusion of it. And maybe for me, real personal power is the willingness to be vulnerable, to be intimate with self and with others, and to expose more of who we really experience ourselves to be, and let the chips fall where they may. As an example, you know, we learn this in childhood and in some regard with how much we start to hide in front of our parents, how we hide in front of our parents to parent our parents. So you know, we can feel a sense of control and power. And that shows up directly in our relationships with others. And let's just say in our intimate relationships or our significant other relationship. And I've had many clients who say, yeah, you know, Jator, I really want an intimate partnership and I want vulnerability and I want openness and I want emotion and I want rawness. And in my mind, I think,
Do you really?
Because I think what's been fascinating to me is, you know, in a coaching context, which bleeds out into my life, many people in my experience speak words habitually, but don't even realize what they're actually saying. It's like these habitual speech patterns. Mm-hmm. That speak words, but if you ask them a question, do you really want that? Pause. What does that mean to you? Okay, you really want that, and it means connection and heartfelt relationship, and there'll be less tension, and for me, all of this BS. Say, okay, cool. So on your next first date, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to invite you to share one to three of your shadow sides I want you to share one to three things that you typically would not share on a first date and probably wouldn't share on a 10th date. No. I can't do that. Well, why not? Well, because what are they going to think? They won't want to go on another date with me. Da 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 da. And you start to see immediately how they find power through hiding and they're afraid of vulnerability and intimacy on a first date simply because if I expose who I really am, no one will like me. Mm. And I say BS. I say, consider, well, if you hide that stuff from the beginning, it's going to come out in one way or another. It may not come out in expression, i.e., here's my shadow sides, but it'll show up with resentment. It'll show up with misdirected anger. It'll show up with blame. It'll show up with shame. It'll show up with overt resentful behavior or covert or subtle resentful behavior. The relationship will eventually become emotionally disconnected, and then we'll just survive in our relationship and we'll either eventually break up or we'll stay together and live like two zombies for the rest of our lives, hiding what's really going on in our heart, which in a very strange way feels powerful and safe and comfortable and familiar. And it's the way we saw our parents do it as a general theme. And it's the way we saw our friends do it. And to brush up against that and to allow yourself to push against that grain and start to really be intimate and vulnerable with yourself in the presence of others. It's a challenging road because people are going to have the experience of you of what the is going on here. What? You're not kind. You're not respectful. You don't care about me. And on and on and on. So for me, personal power, authentic personal power comes from really slowly learning how to represent more of who you truly are in the presence of others. And if you can do that, if you can move from that place, if you can learn to do that in the presence of your parents, and you can learn to do that in the presence of your significant others, and you can learn to do that in the presence of your children and work, etc., what you're really learning is how to do that in the presence of yourself.
Yes.
So you're finding your own power in the experiences that you have external to you. And that starts to build momentum, at least in my experience, it does. And for me, that's real personal power, is the willingness to own your opinions, own your emotions, own your perspectives, and share them boldly and brightly. I love people that are triggering as hell. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy, and not triggering to me. I love those people too, but this will probably lose me any followers that I do have. Candace Owens. I really enjoy Candace Owens.
I actually do too. I'm going to out myself a little bit because I love that she speaks her truth and she's not worried about. Now, I don't agree with everything she's saying or about, mm-hmm. but I'll put that disclaimer out there. But I'll say that I really do respect her. I really respect how she expresses herself. And to me, that's a great model because she doesn't, it's not that I don't know that she cares about the consequences or does or doesn't, but she's okay with the consequences. She's okay with dealing with whatever comes her way, right? Which has been a lot lately. She's been getting a lot of interesting press, but going back just to us real quick, before we go down that road, I just want to kind of reiterate what I heard you say, which is reclaiming your personal power to some extent is really learning how to get intimate with yourself and then showing that in a way to others and like, actually not hiding it. Is that true?
Yeah. For me, it's very true. Sometimes I notice when I am speaking, of course, we can kind of take this information, right? And we can move it into our head and we're like, oh, it's here. And I would just ask people then, if that's the case, to just put yourself, imagine a scenario. Imagine what it felt like the first time you hid out of fear or shame. Just imagine what that felt like. The first initial moment probably didn't feel powerful. The illusion of power came possibly after the moment. So you hide first out of fear or shame. Right? My body, my energy, I go into this kind of fetal position. Ah, okay. And then I notice what happens afterwards. Oh, and I notice then people's behavior starts to change when I act a certain way. Then the feeling of fear and shame gets hidden by the feeling of, illusion of power. Mm. So you take that and just feel that and let yourself feel that scenario. And then take another scenario. Let yourself feel a scenario where, you were hiding something and you voiced it to someone. Mm-hmm. And whether it went bad or good or whatever the direction it went in terms of your ego's perception, notice the feeling that you had when you spoke your truest truth. When you let that out, there's a feeling that most people get. And maybe it's courage, maybe it's levity, maybe it's an openness. For me, that's a much more powerful energy, the energy of expansion than the energy of contraction. They're both powerful, but
I agree. I agree with that, actually. And I'll also share that what kind of came up for me as you were saying that is when we're talking about body parts and where we're feeling those things. And when I was doing your personal power meditation, it's real interesting. I've always had this tension. You can probably see this line right here between my eyes. I've always had a lot of tension right there, like really trying to, it was almost like something that I've been holding back, like holding something back. And I've been aware of it for a long time, but I've never really like, you know, gotten really curious about why I do that. And, you know, during that personal power meditation, it was really interesting. I just decided I'm going to go to that place and see what's going on. And it just led me to a place of really suppressing my intuition, which was, I thought was really interesting that came up for me. And it very much resonated to it kind of brought me back to a place when I was younger, when I felt like that was necessary for me to do that for whatever reason. And so, you know, it actually rings true a lot with what kind of is going on with me, or what the process I've been going through as an adult. And like you and I have talked about before, really hiding, you know, not really being truly intimate with people because we're really just hiding parts of ourselves in my case, like really people pleasing, trying to make sure that everybody's okay and that everybody's having fun and we're all like, you know, friends and all this stuff. I started that pretty young because I think part of me was like, you know what, we're gonna do what it takes to, you know, to make this work. And so I did. And so with that, I really just abandoned that part of myself. And I felt that during that meditation. And then I felt this flood of energy go in there. And it felt so good. And I don't know, it was pretty incredible. So I wanted to share that with you because, you know, that was a real powerful moment for me to kind of, you know, get that part of myself, you know, integrated back with my whole again, because I feel like I've really been holding back a lot in that area. And that's why I think going at this from all levels, both the physical and the energetic, is really important. It's really addressing how you feel physically, where you feel it, what's coming up for you, what emotions you're feeling around that. You know, are you feeling stuck? Are you feeling resistant? All of those things are really, really important.
Yeah, I would agree. And thank you for giving voice to that. I heard this a long time ago, and it's always resonant with me, that the body has no mechanism to lie. And, you know, what that means for me is, so you have this line, and it's actually really interesting because I have, so I'm in Denmark, right? And for whatever reason, Denmark is considered one of the happiest places in the world. I think it's usually number one or two as a theme. And I don't know how they're quantifying happiness, right? I'd say it's probably one of the most comfortable and safest places in the world. I think they have the second highest amount of antidepressant ingestion here. So I don't know how happy it is. And I was I have Danish friends, and I said, you know, it's really interesting to me out in these, so many Danes have that line.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I've noticed that, and it's not just Danes, obviously. But it's a place that many of us hold a tremendous amount of stress, furrowing our brows, deeply thinking, like we're going to figure this out.
Yes.
And it becomes this pretty ingrained line. And so it's, as you know, as a coach, it's one of the first things I notice about people is, of course, body posture and speech rate. And I look at those type of things. Those things are bold flags for unresolved, unprocessed, unintegrated aspects of self, back to this idea of personal power, at least in my opinion, is that when we have lost permission, internal permission to be ourselves, and we start to hide for this illusion of power, wherever that starts, that symbolizes separation. Mm-hmm. You even said the words, I think you said, I ignored myself, or I turned a blind eye to this, my intuition, a part of you. So that symbolizes separation, at least for me it does. And so, you know, when we start to have this separation internally, then our experience of personal power, our experience of energy, our experience of vibrancy for life, our experience of passion, our experience to be motivated in whatever way that is, that energy has to be siphoned to many, many different places because it's less integrated. It's not one river, it's 30,000 rivers.
Yes.
And as that main energy is flowing, all those 30,000 rivers are siphoning off little bits of energy, little bits of personal power. And so for me, what I heard in that meditation for you is going back to that place. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, giving yourself permission to feel, to emote, and to acknowledge this part of you that you had turned a blind eye to. Well, what does that symbolize? We're coming back together. We're not separate. We're one. That sounds like a lot more powerful place for me to be. And I'm not here claiming at all that I am a singular I, or I don't have parts of me that I still am blind to or disregard. I think that's been part of my journey and part of the work for me is essentially learning how to reparent myself through permission to be me to all of these parts. Mm-hmm. My intuitive parts, my angry parts, my fearful parts, my anxious parts, my depressive parts, my rageful parts, my joyous parts, my excited parts, to start to give permission to all of that, because there were so many moments in time that I took permission away from myself to present myself in a way that I thought other people needed me to be for them. And that reclamation of power, I don't know if that's a word, but it sounds cool. Reclamation of power.
It sounds good to me too.
Yeah. It's like bringing me back to me.
Yeah.
And I had a moment maybe about 4 years ago. I was back in Berkeley. I went to elementary school in Berkeley. And for fun, I went to my old elementary school to go walk around the yard and re-experience. I knew that I would get all kinds of hits by just walking around my elementary school. And I'm walking around and I can, you know, see myself playing kickball, and I can see myself chasing girls, and I can see myself getting into fights. And I started to get really teary-eyed and not teary-eyed. I started to cry. And all of a sudden, all of these little jators from that elementary, they all ran up to me. And were like surrounded me, and I took a moment to say to them, like, I'm here, I'm here to connect with you in a different way than you've ever been connected with before, and I'm here to learn to acknowledge you and accept you and to allow you the permission now to be exactly who you are. And that's one of the most powerful moments of my life where it started to build then into, right, you know, my practice or what I share on social media. I don't hold back, and I boldly share my struggles and myself and my perspective because I have to.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I spent so many years.
Yeah, totally.
Like that.
Yeah. And I would say that I would share that I am learning too.
I'm learning too. It's scary for me. And I think it's important for me to say, I don't share because I think I'm right.
Right.
I share because I think I'm right for myself.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to question.
Speaking of which, I do want to kind of circle back to Candace there when we started going down that road. And so that seems to be, you know, that kind of stuff seems to be a trigger for people, especially now with everything that's going on and so many craziness, so much craziness going on in the States right now with everything. But You know, what I guess what my question would be about that would be, you know, I guess why would you, what made you want to share that part of yourself with people? Because I know that that there was a couple posts that I was like, yes, I'm so glad he said that. But then I know you got some pushback from some of it. So, you know, I don't know if you want to share that or not.
But sure. You mean some of my more triggering posts or some of my Candace celebrations?
Both. All of the above.
I think my most popular triggering post was people gotta die. I think that got me some good heat. You know, it's, I think in part it's become a practice for me to share without this fear of loyalty. And I think many people that know me or think they know me, assume as we all do, I do too. They assume many things, right? I've had people assume I'm a vegan. People assume I'm a yoga person. People assume that I'm super liberal and democratic. let's just say that, I'm a person who I don't typically like to label myself. Of course, I use labels too. And I like perspectives that challenge me. And so I grew up in a very, let's say, blue, democratic, liberal household. And over the years, I think especially with a lot of this self-work and this parenting idea that is, at least in our world, is very is a very kind of meaty topic.
Yes.
I'm not political in terms of like arguing politics, but I was having lots of conversations with people around just my own perspectives around things. And people started to say, I think you're actually really conservative. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. Hmm. And it started to bubble that, let me look into just Republican concepts. Let me look into socialist concepts. Let me look into communist concepts. Let me look into liberal concepts. Let me look into all of these different kind of schools or thoughts or philosophy. And I find ideas in each of them that I think are brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I think Candace Owens, my experience of her, I don't even want to, there's a part of me that doesn't want to say like, I don't agree with everything that she says, because for me, that feels like I'm trying to like soften this blow.
I know. Yeah.
For me, it does.
Oh, for me, it does too. That's why I say it. I'll be honest. I am not there yet. I'm not like as comfortable with conflict as you are, I think, at this point. But yeah.
I find her as a general theme.
Yeah.
Well-spoken. I really love well-spoken, thoughtful. I think she has some really clear and focused ideas. I really experience her to be someone who shares what is true for her regardless of the pushback. And I'll be quite frank, there is a lot that I agree with Candace Owens on, a whole lot.
Yeah.
I'd almost say there's more that I agree with her on than there is that I don't agree with her on. It's going to be pretty interesting to see what kind of emails I get after this. but that's not coming from a place of right or wrong.
Right. Yeah.
For me, it's when I make statements like that, it doesn't mean that I'm saying someone else's perspective is wrong. It doesn't mean that I don't agree with other politicians on the other side. What it does mean is I'm very curious, and I love to hear ideas that challenge my own perspective. That's not threatening to me. When I first started to hear, I heard about Candace, and I heard about Candace from some people that were, you know, saying what a horrible person she is. I was like, well, this is really,
I don't see that.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And so I checked her out, and I thought, not my experience. And so I love to get a very broad brush on all of these topics. The same thing with Corona or COVID or masks or no masks. I'm not a person that like bites down on something like a pit bull and thinks this is the only way. I'm very curious as to what's going on, what's the larger context, who as a coach, I watch people's body language and words and tone. So when I watch a Candace or I watch a Trump or I watch a Joe Biden or watch whoever I'm watching, I turn on my coaching perspective and really allow myself to feel, to notice body language, words, facial expression, eye movement. I'm more of a fascinated person. And I think I bring up Candace because she seems so controversial, at least to the outside world, but I don't experience her that way. I think she's actually pretty brilliant and has great arguments.
It's interesting you say that, because that occurred to me too. I'm like, well, what is the controversy here? I don't get it. I don't understand why people are so upset. Maybe I haven't heard everything she said. I don't know. But what I've heard so far is it sounds totally reasonable, and I don't have any, you know, aversion to it. I think it makes sense to me. But go ahead.
One of the challenges that I see with any of these topics, inclusive Corona, self-power, intimacy, vulnerability, is that my experience of us as humans, inclusive of myself, is that when we become really attached to an idea, and that idea also has a tremendous amount of emotional response surrounding the idea.
Yeah.
We become blindly protective of the idea. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's just not how I function. And so when someone brings up something that, ooh, that's a trigger, and I feel a lot of emotion, for me, what happens is I've trained myself to get curious about that. Ooh, wow, what is that about?
Right.
Rather than to go into counterattack. To me, that's a message in a bottle from one of my inner children that's been hitting me on the head with this bottle, trying to get my attention and saying, here's a place where you lost permission. Do you want to open this bottle, read the message, and learn to understand me and understand what's going on back here? And the emotional charges that we get, which are necessary and beautiful, and I love emotion. And easily said, like in Star Trek, you have Captain Kirk, who was very emotional and beautifully and also could take the ship in some interesting directions. And then you had Spock, the complete polar opposite, extremely logical and rational. I like both, and I want to use both to work together. And I don't want to be so emotionally charged that I'm unwilling to hear a person's perspective, even if it's the polar opposite of mine. I don't want to get there. I think if we get to a place, it seems like we are going, with political correctedness, censorship, we are creating a world in which there will only be one acceptable narrative. And that is not a world I want to live in. That's not a curious world. That's a naive world.
Yeah.
And that naivety for me is driven by fear and shame rather than the courage to refind your innocence and allow others to have their opinion. And let's have dialogue about it. Let's connect about our differences.
Yes, I love that.
Even if you're racist against me, that doesn't bother me at all. Like, wow, really? I mean, it's fascinating. It fascinates me. It doesn't.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, I feel very similar because I think that's the spice of life, to be able to look at other perspectives and appreciate it. You don't have to agree with it all, but it's still just like really holding space for that and listening and, you know, and contemplating it. Maybe it is true. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I don't know everything, you know? And the jury's not out on health, you know? You know, the jury and the whole health thing being political, like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, I don't even... You know, you and I have been talking about health for years and saying the same stuff, like the natural health spiel. And of course, as I've, you know, gone through the ages, it's progressed and I've learned things and I've come to certain conclusions. But, you know, I don't know. I had never lived in a time where you got shamed because you had a certain health belief, you know, or, it's just kind of getting weird, right?
There's not many things that like get me. This is a path that I'm concerned about. And when you look at, and I'm not pro-vax, I'm not anti-vax. I'm a very middle of the ground person. I like to consider both sides and really dive in and really also trust my intuition. So let's just start there. And what I am seeing as a general theme is this global push for vaccination and this global push for we can get back to normal when we have that. Okay. Now let's just say that piece. I'm not on the far end. I'm not super conspiracy, whatever the fuck that means at this point. And I'm also not super conventional, whatever that means at this point. Okay.
Right.
I'm very interested and I find things interesting and I observe things. And so I thought, well, okay, that's interesting. And it fascinates me that with all of that rhetoric, there's nowhere, no, at least as far as I'm aware, there's no government, there's no someone at the WHO, there's no one in those fields talking about, well, in the meantime, before there's a vaccine ready, whatever your beliefs are on that, in the meantime, let's start looking at gut health. Yeah. Let's start looking at nutrition. Let's start looking at lifestyle. Let's start looking at your mental and emotional health. Let's start looking at your sleep. Let's start looking at your work. Let's start working at your movement. Let's start looking at all of the roots of our immune system and our susceptibility to, you know, navigating bacteria and virus and fungi and all that.
Right.
Let's start looking at that stuff. And what does concern me is when that starts to get framed as conspiracy theory.
Me too. That really bothers me. That concerns me too, really greatly.
I don't know what the agenda is. Of course, I'm surrounded by friends who have all kinds of good agenda for me. I don't know what the agenda is. I do know that it's concerning when more and more legitimate conversation is being framed as conspiracy. And it's also concerning that there, that it almost seems like a necessary place that we're going, because there's so much information. Mm-hmm. And the documentary I'd invite everyone to check out is The Social Dilemma and The Great Hack.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
It's for sure. Well, what's also disturbing, and I'm going to probably, I like to trigger people, so... What's really also fun for me is so many of the people that I know that are anti everything that's happening use all of those platforms to promote that they're anti that's happening. And it seems a little ironic to me, like, get off.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
Yes.
And I know there's a counter argument to that, and I get it. And also I think there's some rationalization there and also some hiding there. What's growing, in, at least inside of me, in terms of this, maybe this personal power that's also coming from all of this information that we're getting in all these social media platforms. Allison, people like to talk.
That's what that's exactly what I was thinking. What happened and to when, just connecting with each other in your community and just doing it that way, you know?
And people like to talk behind computer screens.
Oh, right.
And when the shit really hits the fan, that's when I'm going to be interested to see what all this chitty chat is. I'm interested in that.
To see what happens after shit goes down. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested in that when the shit goes down. I know people like to talk behind their computers and type and say all
what
this.
People really do is what you're saying. Like they actually like really when do. It,
I'm going to, So,
when the rubber hits the road, as they say. So I know we're going low on time. We got like 3 minutes, but we'll have to talk about parallel realities next time.
Yeah.
But because I really think that would have been kind of a good also. Maybe you can do a part two of this or something. But yes, that is a huge topic, Jator. Oh my God. So much has come up for me around that. And throughout this whole process, and part of your program was helping me with the triggering that I was getting initially from all of this stuff, because it was so surprising. I was like, what is going on? But, there's so many dynamics with this whole thing, like trying, and I've also been trying to figure it out. And I was like, I can't figure this out. This is dumb. Mm-hmm. I just need to let it go, stay in my lane, do my thing, focus on what I need to focus on, which is keeping myself healthy. And also just helping the people I'm here to help. And by doing that, I'm helping myself first. I am getting to know myself better and actually finding joy in that. So I feel like if you're able to find joy in your life, if you can find that for yourself first, then, all the other stuff doesn't matter quite as much, I think we can have a better impact on the world if we just start with yourself first. If we start with ourselves first, and really get curious, like you say, about where our personal power lies, really. Is it external? Is it going to a protest? Well, maybe for somebody it is, Maybe for some people, it's just going within, So figure that out, or not figure it out, but like explore that, And so that's maybe where we start with all of this. But I wanted to have you on just to start the dialogue with like how we begin to explore our own personal power instead of giving it away externally to something outside of ourselves, like politics is a big one for people right now. So thank you so much for sharing your perspective, Jator, today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I think for me, something that came up while you were sharing that is important for me to hear is, and I fall into this often too, is one of the most powerful things I can do for myself to invigorate my own personal power is to not project and expect my values to be met by others. Mm. to let them be themselves. And
yes,
and when I kind of sit back into that and think about how I felt when I was a kid at different times, is where I felt the most shame or fear is when I felt powerless. And a lot of that powerlessness came from a sense of shame and fear, and I need to hide myself to fit into what I think these other people need me to be. Mm. How often do we still do that to each other?
We do it a lot. Yeah, we do.
A lot.
Yeah. And it's very transparent now. So, so glad we're bringing this up today. Thanks again, Jator. And awesome. Yeah, thanks. Have a great rest of your day. And it was great seeing you as always.
Thank you. You too. Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure and honor.
Same here. Thank you.